gold at some point, you know, its supply is going to skyrocket. They're going to find gold on an asteroid. They're going to find gold on Mars. They're going to find gold God knows where.
There are a lot of companies that actually rely on demonstrating and verifying your identity through video, through images, those sorts of things. And it's looking like that is going to be less and less secure.
Even Satoshi himself said, you know, if you don't get it, I don't have time to explain it to you. Sorry. Like, Bitcoin's a journey that you have to go on by yourself.
If you have your Bitcoin on an exchange or you're trusting a third party, you know, with it because you think somehow it's safer, then yes, that poof will definitely, you know, come your way at some point.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Greer with me. Gents, let's jump right into the news. So gold has been pumping. It's had a great year. Congratulations to all you gold bugs out there. You've been right until you're not. But Ben V. Hoddle made a great point. He said, when gold corrects by 20 to 30% like it did in 2022 and 20% of the release capital flows into Bitcoin, it could have an 800K price impact on Bitcoin. Even in a bear case, adding 100K is entirely possible. It's how Omega candles are created. I would love to hear, we're going to talk a little bit more about gold here in a second, but I would love to hear, Greer, why don't you take this one first? I'm curious your thoughts on the likelihood of 20 to 30% of that flow moving into Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think it's possible. And the reason is, as Bitcoin's going to meet the fourth quarter this year, you know, I think we're expecting some large price increases. And what happens is FOMO. You know, you see today people are FOMOing into gold, trying to be part of this rapid gold rise, which, to be honest, it, you know, took 15 years to double. But we're seeing people panic, get into gold. They're lining up in queues to be able to buy a little bit. And I think once they realize that Bitcoin is the faster horse, they're going to rotate out of gold into Bitcoin. Think about the exit strategy for gold. Let's say you realize a gain in gold. What are you exiting into? Dollars, your fiat currency? Like, that's not going to work. You know, so gold not having an exit that's real, that's that you can own and send over the internet like Bitcoin, I think we will see an outflow. So maybe it'll be 20%. But the point here is even a small amount of outflow into gold could have a significant impact on Bitcoin's price.
I'm a little, like, obviously I'm very bullish on Bitcoin over almost any time horizon. I don't make price predictions or anything, but I'm a little more skeptical. I kind of wonder if more people are going to be FOMOing into gold as they see the price pump, and they wonder if over the next few years if gold's going to keep doing this. I think it's a huge opportunity for anyone who is even slightly awake to what Bitcoin promises. But Tony, I'd be curious if you think this is a likely scenario, or do you think the gold bugs are just like hardcore? They're going to keep buying gold and stick to it, or what?
No, I don't think they're hardcore anything. I think they're just creatures of habit. I mean, gold is, you know, a relic of 5,000 years and a lot of old money, boomer money. I mean, that's all they understand. Bitcoin's been around for 16 years and comes from the world of tech. And, you know, there's a lot of steps involved in order to master it properly, you know, self-custody, even though it's very easy. You know, for someone of a certain age, it may not be the first thing on their mind. And so they're going to default back to, you know, what they've always understood from generations back, right? The thing is, over time, I mean, that generation either goes away and those, you know, that follow along, well, you know, they keep up with the times and they're going to realize that gold will still have, you know, some intrinsic value, I guess, and maybe some utility value. But it's definitely not going to be the future of a digital world, especially one with the AI integration. This is the world we're headed to. We're not going back in time. And so it's just a question of, you know, when enough people realize this and are in a position to, you know, shift to the other horse, the faster horse. And besides, gold at some point, you know, its supply is going to skyrocket. They're going to find gold on an asteroid. They're going to find gold on Mars. They're going to find gold God knows where, which is going to dilute its supply and go back to the same, you know, stupid human corruptible games that, you know, we've had with fiat, just maybe to a lesser degree, but they're still there. And Bitcoin doesn't have these problems. And so, you know, the more people, you know, start waking up and paying attention, that's where the FOMO is going to come in. Maybe in the short term, you know, the Peter Schiff of the world, you know, can rejoice, but I don't think it's going to be a very long-lasting party.
Yeah, a quick pro tip for anyone out there, if sending your money around the world requires you to insure it against an attack from pirates, it might be time to move into the 21st century. Let's just put it that way. All right, guys, we have another gold one. So Fiat Hawk, I think this is an interesting thing. Call me crazy, but I think gold is soaring because central banks fear Bitcoin, so they're letting gold rise. They failed to kill Bitcoin. Their only counter is to hoard gold and act like it still has value. It's not going to work, but letting gold soar, they reveal fiat's failure, and soon everyone will see Bitcoin outshine gold. Tony, I'll let you take this one first. I think you probably have some interesting opinions on this.
Yeah, man, I've been saying this forever. You know, governments, banks, and all these people who hate Bitcoin, you know, they're going to try to push narratives or just pretend it doesn't exist, hoping that it'll just go away. But they've been doing this for 17 years, and look at where we are. You know, Bitcoin is still here. It's still growing in adoption. It's not withering to oblivion. And they're trying to compete with it, you know, because for the first time ever, there's a competitor that they can't control or destroy or defeat. And so, you know, they're using the next best thing available to them, and that's gold, hoping, you know, that, you know, with enough traction, people will stick to that instead of, you know, adopting the way of the future. But these are all, you know, old tricks. They may work, you know, in the short term for people that are just, you know, clueless or not paying attention. But eventually, man, like with everything, the future arrives, people adopt it, and that's the way forward. Gold is not it. So expect the FOMO into Bitcoin, but, you know, those that are paying attention now are those that will win. Those that are, you know, going to be late to the game, they'll still win, but not in the way that owning a UTXO in full self-custody today will give you.
Yeah, I think that gold is the like a delay tactic for governments to try to escape the impending collapse of everything that they've created with fiat. But they completely understand that Bitcoin would be the dagger right to the heart. And so they're going to stall as long as they can. No politicians' time preferences any longer than their own personal life. And so if they can just make it to the end, rich, powerful, happy, I think they're going to do it. Greer, what do you think?
Imagine buying horses at the birth of the automobile, you know, or, you know, purchasing companies that are based on newspaper companies in the digital age, or investing in legacy media when everything has become so splintered and fractionalized. You know, Bitcoin is the future. It is the revolution, and it's easier to use than gold. You cannot spend gold. Gold is not a currency. It is a store of value, but only temporary. You know, Bitcoin is here. It is digital. It is unstoppable. Why would you want to ride a horse when a car can get you faster? And the same is true for Bitcoin. It is so much easier to use than gold, and it's verifiable. Something that in order to verify your gold, you have to melt it down. You have to test to make sure that it's not tungsten. So I understand why people are resorting to the thing they might know. But I think ultimately you want the faster horse. You want Bitcoin.
All righty. Up next, we have KYC is a crime. So an AI-generated passport passed a KYC check. So this is a real-world failure of compliance systems. We've talked a lot about AI. We've talked about KYC, how much we hate it. But this is scary. And I'll address one concern I have, because there are a lot of companies that actually rely on, you know, demonstrating and verifying your identity through video, through images, those sorts of things. And it's looking like that is going to be less and less secure. And it's going to be harder and harder for those companies to keep up without a huge capital expense to sort of cover this AI delta that they're now facing. Tony, what do you think the implications of this are for KYC in general?
This is great, man. I mean, for me, when I read these headlines, it's very exciting, because, you know, Bitcoin is not the only idea whose time has come. You know, super intelligence is also an idea whose time has come. And this idea is a complete game changer as well. Now the tools to do what was seemingly impossible, you know, not that long ago, have become, you know, real today. And so it's not just big governments that have all these, you know, cute little superpower toys now. Now this technology is available to 8 billion people who just, you know, pay attention on how to use it on a computer. And so all of these creative ideas, you know, whether it's this, you know, more deep fakes, more just whatever. I mean, you can, human imagination and creativity has no bounds. It's going to cause a world of confusion, that's for sure. But, you know, at the same time, it could unlock possibilities and opportunities that we know we're not even thinking about. But again, you know, it highlights the fact that, you know, the KYC, the premise of KYC has been a lie since day one. You know, it was marketed to us as for protection, to prevent fraud and all that other bullshit. But now, clearly, you know, this thing is completely falling apart. And now all these honeypots of information that we thought were for our protection are being used against us. You know, you hear about hacks and leaks, you know, almost on a weekly basis now. And so the idea here is to start finding ways to avoid them. KYC is actually dangerous and will be used against you if it falls into the wrong hands. So, you know, unlearn the lies and, you know, start focusing on, you know, the reality of things. And we're going to start seeing more and more of these accidents take place. And hopefully, you know, with enough time and enough pain, I guess, people will start looking for, you know, different alternatives that don't involve giving away your identity and all sorts of private information that are no one's business.
Yeah. Greer?
Yeah, well said. I love seeing compliance systems fail. And I agree with Tony. This is great. You know, we're watching people find a way to route around the system. And KYC is the illicit activity. How many text messages do I receive a week from Coinbase because my account was hacked or accessed, you know, and they're scam texts. Somebody has my phone number. I get emails. Someone has my email. So if you play by the rules and you upload your photo, a video of your face, your voice, all of that can be cloned. And the systems where they store this data are all hackable. So this is what you get for playing by the rules. You want to be a nice person and comply. And now you're in a position where your voice, your image, your video can all be faked. So this is something where we need to stand up and not only find ways to route around these, but also to not accept them. So I think the creativity is just going to continue. And this is a win for humanity. We should not be working within these systems.
It's funny. I spent a decade working for cybersecurity compliance firms, helping companies comply with regulations. And at the time, I thought I was doing God's work. And now I couldn't possibly agree with the two of you more. Alrighty, we've got this police used these Flock cameras to track one driver over 500 times. Now they're being sued. I believe this was in Germany. I was looking at this. So over the course of February to July, he found out he was tracked more than 526 times. And then his co-plaintiff system was tagged 849 times in roughly the same period. Tony, you made a good point offline. Probably a lot of the same cameras seeing him going to and from work or what have you. But the point is, you're being tracked all the time. Like, you've got cameras on you. You've got surveillance that's taking place. And Greer, we're going to talk about something you sent us. That's pretty funny and awesome. But yeah, this is lawsuits, I think, are going to start coming up because of, at least in the U.S., Fourth Amendment rights. And I would be curious, Greer, as an American who's looking at this, what your thought is.
Yeah, I feel bad for the DoorDash driver who has been, filmed, just taking food back and forth. That's my guess. But you're right. We don't have to put up with this. I think what this is sold as, it'll protect you from crime. But the people who are instituting this are committing the crimes. They're violating your privacy. You have there's no reason why they should be tracking everyone continually. If you're going to live in a free society, there are certain risks that are unavoidable. And the answer is not, let's just film everyone and see what they're doing. That is an invasion of privacy. So, you know, I hope that more awareness is brought to this. There are speed cameras in the U.S. Some of those court cases have mandated them be unconstitutional. So you have a right to privacy, and it's up to you, the individual, to embrace it and to demand that your privacy is protected. A lot of that happens, it falls on you, the individual, to take hold of those rights.
Yeah, let me just add to that. So for anyone who's looking at the Constitution saying, well, actually, no, you don't have a right to privacy. Like, where is it in the Constitution? It doesn't matter. You have a right to privacy as a human being. And the fact that the government hasn't spelled that out for you doesn't matter. They have no right to infringe upon your natural right to privacy. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, man, of course. I mean, you can expect this type of abuse and overreach when it comes to technology. I mean, these people, this is their DNA. This is, you know, this is what gets them up in the morning, is, you know, that obsession with surveillance and control. It's, again, it's all part of that same criminal organization, that octopus that is really, you know, determined on, you know, controlling the world in whichever way, shape, or form they see fit. These are delusional psychopaths, you know, people that genuinely believe they have a God-given right to own you. And all of this tech, of course, they're going to abuse it. But, you know, it's up to the individuals to be aware that this is happening and to push back. The power is in the people's hand. It's always been in the people's hand. But the people need to act. Simple as that.
Alrighty. Hey, Greer, why don't you tell people about this capable.design real quick? And then I'm going to pick out an outfit for Tony while you're at it.
Yeah, I love this concept. So what they're doing is creating clothing that will make the user's face, the wearer's face, unintelligible to cameras. So when you put on the sweatshirt, the dress, the shirt, a facial recognition camera doesn't know what to do with all of the colors. It sort of overloads the system, thus giving you privacy. You can walk around with a hideous Where's Waldo sweatshirt, and it looks like you just have poor fashion taste, when in actuality, you are protecting your privacy when you wear it. So absolutely genius, you know, and maybe this won't take off, but just looking at some of the designs, they're pretty rough. But I love the creativity here. I think this is, you know, it's a great way to peacefully opt out of a criminal and overbearing system.
Yeah, I think that the bigger point here isn't this brand or this incredible sweatshirt that I think Tony would look great in, although it might damage his reputation as V4BTC. But I think it's that people find workarounds. You know, they're, people demand privacy. They demand the opportunity for self-sovereignty. They're going to find ways of getting around any of these infringements on our right to privacy. Tony, I would order this for you, but this is like $600. So not going to.
The thing is, you're definitely taking a hit for the team with one of these. But the point, as you correctly pointed out, it's about pushing back. I mean, there's always going to be creative ways to make life difficult for those that want to make your life difficult. This is just an example of it. It's probably in its very prehistoric stages. I'm sure, you know, given enough time, there'll be more approachable solutions than, you know, wearing something like this. But look, I mean, if you are really determined not to have your face scanned and you want to do whatever you can to have it fail, then maybe it's not so bad wearing this, you know, colorful sweater. At least, you know, it gets the job done.
If they come up with a gray version or a black hat that can obfuscate my identity, I'll be all over it. Alrighty, guys, even more expensive than those shirts. The average new car price has surpassed $50,000 for the first time in history. It's been a few years since I bought a car, but I can note that they have been quite expensive. Tony, why don't you tell people why you should own nothing and be happy?
Absolutely, Ben. I mean, this is expected and very sad. I mean, if you can have installments now for your burger, well, then you can expect the price of everything else to also escalate. I mean, the average price of $50,000 for a car, most people don't even make that amount of money today in 2025. So, and that $50,000, I don't know for how long it's going to last. I mean, it could be just maybe as soon as a year before that thing bumps up to, what, $60,000. And it's going to continue rising simply because the money that, you know, you're working for, that worthless paper, the dollar, is tanking. And so the more it tanks, well, the higher the prices go. So that's, it's sort of, you know, regains some sort of value. But, you know, if your income, your revenue is not keeping up with the rate that it's tanking, it's a dead end. And, you know, this is a perfect example of it. It's a very, very sad, like dire situation. But opt out. You know, the solution is clear. There is an exit. Hard assets that the government cannot manipulate and print more of. So whether your thing is gold, whether your thing is precious metals, whether your thing is Bitcoin, don't stay in the dollar. It's, you know, whatever your flavor is, you know, adopt it in some way, shape, or form to at least protect yourself from this imminent collapse.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I bought my truck before I found Bitcoin and before my time preference was dramatically lowered, but it was for a lot less than $50,000. I plan on driving that thing into the ground. Greer, are you in the market for a new car? Or are you holding off?
I just bought one for my teen son, and it's cost me $5,000, and I got a great deal on an auction website. So if you're paying $50,000 for a brand new car, you know, you're making a big mistake, first off. But second off is the quality that you're getting is not going to be there. This $50,000 car, not only is it inferior to what was made years ago, if you're buying a Toyota, they have subscription services if you want to use the Bluetooth. It's like $15 a month to use Bluetooth. And then it's another $15 a month to use the AirPlay within Toyota, as far as I've learned. So not only does your car, you know, cost more, the manufacturing quality is lower, and then it costs, just to use the entertainment features, it costs you monthly. So find a way to, you know, get a cheaper car if you need one. You have to be creative about these things. And this is sort of a tangent, but I place the blame on the used car market right at the feet of Obama and his Cash for Clunkers program, you know, that really destroyed the entire used car market. So we've been pushed into this situation, and then combine it with the fact that our money doesn't buy anything more. And yeah, we're experiencing the pain everywhere. You know, the average house is $450,000 in the United States, where a couple of years ago before 2020, it was about $200,000. So the money is melting, and you still have time to get into better money. But that window is shrinking. You know, buying anything today in dollars is just painful.
Yeah, I think you can't do anything about it if you're operating on a dollar standard. But I think even before you start studying Bitcoin and getting into Bitcoin, you can begin to lower your time preference. Like at this point, the only thing I spend money on any significant money on are memories for my family and anything for my health, whether it's, you know, diet, exercise equipment, that kind of thing, because those are things that actually matter long term in my view. Yeah, I'm done with new cars. That's for sure. Alrighty, guys. So this, I don't know if it's Denise or Dennis, 58M. He said he had this back and forth with bad sheep. So this guy's son told him he liked Bitcoin because the government can't control it. I told him he's in the correct mindset, but don't for a second think they can't control it. They could take every bit off your wallet if they wanted. He doesn't believe me. And this guy says, well, how would they take it? And he said, poof. He said, wow, yeah, you're right. Don't ever buy Bitcoin. So this guy thinks that the government can just poof your Bitcoin in self-custody away. Hasn't happened to me yet. Tony, I think my understanding is that with our clients, we have a track record of 100%. No one's Bitcoin has gone poof.
Absolutely.
What do you think about these clowns?
Absolutely, man. This I don't know if it's to laugh or cry if this guy is dead serious about his comment. If he's dead serious, it's a very, very sad state of affairs, man. Some people are completely clueless and have no idea what's going on and what's about to happen to them. You cannot poof Bitcoin off of somebody's wallet if they're self-custodying it, okay? The only poof is your IQ in when making a comment like this. So if you have your Bitcoin on an exchange or you're trusting a third party, you know, with it because you think somehow it's safer, then yes, that poof will definitely, you know, come your way at some point. But if you learn 7 or 8 steps and you're in 100% full control of your private keys and your money, there's no poof. There's only poof of the stupid people around you, because you're going to, you know, break away from that circle and start, you know, leaning towards more like-minded individuals that understand sound money and how to live a proper sovereign lifestyle without asking permission anymore. So interesting post, man. I feel sorry for the guy's son. Can you imagine having a dad like that?
Greer, you have any concerns about a poof moment?
No, I don't. But shout out to Satoshi Denise. If you've ever heard the 58K meme, this is the guy that started it. He was, or one of them, one of the original 58K gang members. A fantastic account to follow, pure Bitcoin signal. But I think it's great, you know, to point out what somebody doesn't really understand something. And instead of arguing, you know, okay, sure, have a nice day. You know, I think even Satoshi himself said, you know, if you don't get it, I don't have time to explain it to you. Sorry. Like, Bitcoin's a journey that you have to go on by yourself. Yes, there are people that help you. The Bitcoin way will help you. But this can be a lonely journey. And for the son here in the story, you know, his dad is probably going to regret this. I don't know when, but he'll probably learn, you know, that Bitcoin is open source. It's completely secure when you do it the right way, when you self-custody the right way. So shout out to Satoshi Denise here.
All right, guys, I want to bat this idea around. So NVK tweeted, he said, what if Bitcoin doesn't scale as a coffee payment system for, quote, everyone? Doesn't mean it's not still the best form of money and store of value. We don't have enough UTXOs for 8 billion people, certainly not enough for 20 billion in 100 years. Start thinking of Bitcoin as a settlement layer. And this is something I've long believed. We have I don't know what the runway is, but we've got a period of time where a lot of people can choose and achieve self-sovereignty for themselves. They can own UTXOs. They can take 100% self-custody. That's what we do all day, every day. But I think it's going to get harder and harder over time, and maybe impossible at some point, to where there are going to be, you know, trusted third parties or L2s and L3s that you just sort of have to rely on. I still think that Bitcoin, as a better form of money, as a scarce form of money, decentralized, those L2s and L3s are going to be way better than anything anyone would ever experience in a fiat system or even a gold system or anything like that. But my belief is this is probably fair. How it plays out exactly, I don't know. But Tony, I would be curious to hear your thought as someone who's spent so much time obviously helping people secure their Bitcoin in self-custody.
Yeah, absolutely. No, NVK's post is spot on. And I tell this to every single person that I get on the phone with. I'm like, the days of you waltzing around into an exchange or an institution to buy your Bitcoin and then, you know, withdraw it to self-custody, that's going to disappear very, very soon. I keep saying maybe by the end of this year, early next year, you won't be able to do this anymore. First of all, because the amount, the scarcity of Bitcoin is fixed, 21 million forever, right? And there's like, what, 4 million or so that are locked. So there's even less. And most of it has already been mined. And unfortunately, now the wrong people are paying attention to Bitcoin. And, you know, by that, I mean governments and institutions that have limitless, you know, resources. So for them to one day decide, all right, you know, let's just take everything that's available, that can happen at any minute. Like, for them, it's the price of a Kit Kat. And so once it's gone, you know, that's when you'll wake up to the headlines that Bitcoin is some stupid number on the screen. And if people are wondering what happened, well, there's no more. It's gone. And, you know, those folks are not buying it to speculate. You know, once that's gone, you're never going to see it again. So by the time the remaining population, 8 billion people, finally clue into this, I mean, there's no way. There's no more. You can't own a UTXO. And that's really going to be like the win here. I mean, that's going to be like a mirage for someone, you know, maybe like 5-10 years down the line. But like you said, Bitcoin is the best form of money, the soundest money humanity's ever seen. So all these layer twos and layer threes, those are going to explode, and those are going to scale to 8 billion people, and everybody's life will improve tremendously. But the days, you know, of owning that UTXO, that power behind that generational wealth, that's going to be limited to whoever's still paying attention today. But again, that window of time is like minuscule right now and could disappear literally any day.
Yeah. Greer, do you agree with NVK?
Yeah, NVK is an absolute legend. I use his products for my self-custody. And I think this is what's great about Bitcoiners is they are looking far into the future. And so 8 billion people, that might be a few years off. But I think, you know, he's correct that, you know, Bitcoin's a game of musical chairs, and someday the music will stop. And the people that don't have Bitcoin, their only opportunity will be to use some kind of digital currency, some kind of stable coin back to a government or a corporation or a bank. And they won't have the benefit of being able to not only use Bitcoin and experience its price action and the ownership of it, but they will be left to use money that's programmed by someone else, where they can be censored, where they can be halted from purchasing something. And so I think, you know, the long end of the tail here is that there will be layer twos, maybe layer threes created on top of Bitcoin. you know, the Lightning Network is one that's well known. And I think we might be looking at a situation where you don't get to own a UTXO. And it mathematically, it will be the case. And again, so it's like get a chair before the music stops. Because when it happens, there's no going back. There will be nothing you can do to go back in time and start securing Bitcoin.
Sage advice. All right, guys, last one, just for laughs. So the ultimate crypto troll, Nick O'Neill, says he's 43 years old, new girlfriend, new yacht, no kids, crypto millionaire. Does it get any better than this? He obviously got a lot of funny comments from and replies from the low time preference Bitcoiners. But then this gal in the picture shares it and says, Mr. Nick O'Neill, the choose rich guy, misled and embarrassed me with this post. I was paid $400 to act in some skits. Had to confirm what skits I was comfortable with. Didn't know this picture was being posted. Didn't know the caption. He also refused to tag me after in anything. So turns out crypto is a mirage. So are many of the crypto millionaires, it seems. I actually saw, Ryan Mata, I think it is. He did a video of this guy. He was like pretending to like wipe his tears with like stacks of $100 bills. And he like zoomed in and they were like fake bills or something. So like this guy clearly does not have everything he pretends like he has. But Tony, I'll let you take it first, man. Have a laugh.
Everything in the crypto world, man, is complete garbage. You know, can you imagine how pathetic you have to be to rent a girl to make a post like this and then have it blow up in your face? Wow, man. I mean, the levels that people will stoop to in order to get any form of recognition is beyond pathetic. Good news for this guy, though. Soon he'll be able to buy, a humanoid customized to his liking, you know, that'll continuously change and he'll never have to pay her. He'll just have to buy her once and then, you know, he can do a limitless number of posts with her. But, you know, that's maybe like a couple of years still away from being a reality. But, you know, shitcoiners are going to shitcoin and losers are always going to be losers. This is just a clear example of it. And now it's blown up on social media. So good luck getting rid of that reputation, my friend.
Yeah, no kidding. Greer?
Yeah, the first three letters of crypto are cry. And this time we're just crying laughing at his expense, which, you know, goodness, what a self-own. You know, part of me feels for the guy. You know, I can imagine him. He's just trying to build up his brand. And I don't really pay attention to him too much, but I have seen his posts. And usually they're just mocking other people for not choosing rich. So I think, you know, with a little bit, we can enjoy some humor at this. Hopefully he doesn't have to resort to the humanoid robot girlfriend, but maybe that's all you've got left.
No, Tony's looking forward to that, so we'll see how it goes for Nick. We'll be following him closely. Alrighty, hey guys, thanks for joining. For everyone who's tuned in, we really appreciate it. So hey, before you go, real quick announcement. So next week we have, for our friends in Australia specifically, we've got a webinar coming up with our friend Adam Hudson. We've also got Natalia Clack of Easy Super, who's going to be joining and talking about Bitcoin custody in your SMF. But Adam and Tony are going to be talking in this webinar about privacy phones, the surveillance state in Australia specifically, and it's crazy. It's completely out of control. You need to protect yourself. So if you are tuned in from Australia, make sure you check that out. Go to our website. There's a banner at the top right now where you can subscribe or register rather to join. So do that. And we look forward to having you and hopefully answering a lot of very, very important questions along the way. Gents, thank you guys for taking some time. Look forward to catching up again next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.